Hey everybody, welcome back to the Moto 247 show, a Rocket Media production.
He needs to imagine that there's a girl with big boobs in the first corner, and he needs to be the first one to get to her to get her phone number.
It's holding the baby, yelling at me, and I'm like just trying to like get out of here.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? It's Ezra here at Moto 247, episode 57, I believe, here with Dean Taylor in studio today. And we are here recapping A2, I think the best race of the season so far. We had the Triple Crown last night, dry conditions for once, and it led to some really good racing, had future racing as well. And I really don't follow the amateurs too much, so it was cool to see those guys. And man, that was honestly some really good racing, probably the best futures class race I've seen, I guess in a while, though, at least. But I know you, last night you were saying that you fell asleep during it, but was watching it this morning, and yeah, what do you think about the racing? I think the 250 class was especially really good.
Yeah, the Triple Crowns are really getting dialed out. They're getting more exciting like every year. Like they're starting to grow on me. I feel like when they first started doing Triple Crowns, I didn't like them, which I feel like was majority did not like the Triple Crowns. But yeah, like I said last night, 250s were exciting, 450s were exciting. Man, it was really shaken up. Even the 450s afterwards were even more exciting because with Anderson's penalty and stuff like that, the results really got jumbled up in the points, and it really affected some stuff. And exciting season so far.
Yeah, I feel like it's good. Like, I don't like how the WSX is short. Like, what's it, how they almost have like a Triple Crown format permanently. It's a lot different, but
yeah,
you know, sort of the same. But I like the traditional mains, but to have these sprinkled in our season like two or three times during the year, I think is really cool. And it, you know, like Jet, like, I'm just more or less blown away by what happened with him the whole day and not even being on the podium again for the third week in the row. But it did lead to some really good racing. That track was really fast. I was kind of thinking, I really didn't think about that until yesterday. It's Sunday right now, so the race was last night. Until yesterday, like right before race day live, I'm like, I wonder how the track's going to be with the futures, coming. Normally it's tamed down. And I don't know, it was just really fast. It looked really competitive, and it was really good racing. I think we got to see the leader lights again on Phil Nicoletti's bike for a while, so that was cool to see him up there. And then Kitchen was the chef, was up there in the kitchen doing trying to be creative there with something, but I don't know, he's in the kitchen doing some work more or less. But yeah, him and Hampshire were riding both really good, and Hampshire had that mistake like Hampshire normally does, but still had a good result with a second overall.
Yeah, the mistake that RJ had, that was just like the same mistake that Jet made as well. So it was kind of interesting to see it jump up and bite two people that whoop section, and they went down the same way. I think they dang near landed on the same tough block even. And so, yeah, that was crazy, like said RJ, and said Levi's up in the kitchen, up in the kitchen whipping up some wins.
Yeah, that's a good one. I was thinking something. I'm like, I have nothing right now. I'm like, oh, brain fart here. But yeah, he was doing really good, and yeah, that whoop section was pretty gnarly, and yeah, I got a couple guys there, and RJ, like, I felt like he was pretty good. I was just waiting for him to go down in the first moto though. Like, he was really on it, and I was just waiting for him to eat crap. But even though he went down, looking at the results right now, going 2.17 for second overall, still, I think a really good ride. Really bad luck for Jordan Smith. It seemed like each main he couldn't get something together. Just bad luck from the get-go, pretty much going 4.84 for fifth overall. So kind of a big ding for him. But in the first moto, he did ride really good, though. Like, he was coming through the pack like a championship contender should and could do. So, yeah, he ended up getting fourth in that moto and fifth overall, like I said. So still a decent result. And, what's going on with Joe Shimoda, man? Like, this is crazy. Like, I think everyone's just waiting for him, like, every week to pull out something like he did in SMX last year. And he's just having issue after issue. And looking at the results right now, going P4 on the night with 9.32 is pretty wild. At least he had a good one to end that Triple Crown there. But what do you think is going to go on in that camp, the Honda camp right now? Like, going into, like, they have a break, but after the break, going into Phoenix there, like, he's just now in the mode of he's down a buttload of points and has to just, I guess, do the best he can and see where he ends up pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, that's just straight disappointment for Joe Shimoda. Like, as far as, like, I feel disappointed for him, because it's, I was, like, saying it last night while I was watching him. Like, man, I had such high expectations for Joe coming into the season. Like, he really kind of built up some good momentum at the end of the last season on the Cowie, and he looked pretty good in Paris. I mean, there was a few mistakes, but I mean, I just was kind of writing those off, like, you know, just thinking, ah, whatever, you know, he's flew over to another country, he's still early on the bike, he'll have it figured out by A1 and be like, just, you know, maybe flip that switch and turn into that champion contender. But maybe there's not enough, maybe he doesn't have enough time yet or something, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like every time it's like the same situation coming on late in the year, but like last year, like he really convinced me that he had the speed and stuff to run up there. And of course in the SMX it wasn't like a full on Supercross thing, especially Chicago wasn't it wasn't Supercross really at all, but still I thought, I'm like, damn, this kid has it together, and even if he does move teams, I think he's still gonna be really good. And not saying I don't think that right now, but it's just crazy with the luck, and I guess momentum's a huge thing in the sport too. If he just needs a, I guess, like, I know he got second in that last moto, but if he just goes in the Phoenix and gets some momentum going, and more or less just to carry in the outdoors right now, because I don't think there's no way to win this title for him unless he has a lot of luck on his side and just starts picking off wins like he's the, you know, some sort of Japanese assassin or something. But
yeah, no, like throw some samurai moves in there. But I don't know if it's just going to turn into something where he needs to be like a Christian Craig, or, you know, like a Colt Nichols, or like a Zach Osborne, just somebody that's going to need to literally just grind it out and have a really long 250 career before it almost just seems like he's finally gets hit in the face with, okay, I'm the oldest in the class, I'm the most mature, and then just put in some 250 titles that way, which then seems like, you know, usually turns into like a mediocre 450 career kind of thing. I don't know if that's the trajectory now that Joe's on, because it's just, he's just not delivering. I mean, he's just turning into like another RJ or another Jordan Smith, you know?
It's really got me thinking, like, with all the guys that are 29, 30, 31, like the guys like that are in that group with Barsha and Tomac and Malcolm, and I guess Wilson's up there. He's kind of already half of the door, right, with not doing motocross. But, like, when those guys retire, how's it going to be for guys like Shimoda, like, getting rides and stuff in the 450 class? But, like, until then, yeah, like, even Hunter Lawrence, like, he was killing it last year. Looked really consistent, looked really dominant in the 250 class, and still he, this year, I don't know. I feel like he's going to do a lot better. Like, we're talking yesterday in our group chat about fantasy picks, and you said something about being surprised with Cooper being P1 overall in time qualifying, and asked if anyone had him in there. And I'm like, I might swap him out for Hunter. Like, I have hope for Hunter. I had him in fifth, and still, like, I don't know. I feel like he's not like Shimoda with the bad luck, but I think he is capable of more than what he's showing so far. But then again, we're only four rounds in, and we'll see how he gets over on the East Coast, going into a home race for us this weekend in Detroit. And I know last year he absolutely killed it on the 250, so maybe he can get some momentum going there and carry it back over into the wacky schedule, going over back from California to Michigan to Arizona. But, you know, having that little East Coast swing, I guess. But I don't know, like, looking at him right now, I guess that's the wrong class I have up, but, like, I just want to see what his results for each round. But, like, I don't really know, like, how do you, I guess, how should we go about this, like, thinking, like, where we have guys at, since we've had two mutters, or one mutter and one, I don't know what you would really want to call San Diego, kind of a shit show. And then the main was, you know, half-ass, all right. But, like, what do we, how much longer before we kind of get an idea of where's everyone's at when the dust settled? Like,
yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
I'm like, I feel like I'm finally, after Anaheim 2 here, this last race, getting, like, an idea of where everybody's stacking up. I feel like with between Anaheim 1 and Anaheim 2, and in considering the mud races a little bit, I mean, I finally did decent in my fantasy last night, and it seems like everybody's kind of falling into suit, you know.
Or, I forgot to check that. I'll check that right now.
You know, I finally did decent last night. Like, I got some decent points. I'm catching up to the, I'm still back of the pack, but I feel like everybody's kind of settling in and showing where they stack up. So, I mean, like you said, we'll give it a few more rounds here, but I finally feel more confident and comfortable with at least doing fantasy picks, you know, take that for what it is as far as having an idea of the direction this season's heading. You know, it seems like we're seeing, like, Jet making rookie mistakes. We're seeing Eli taking what comes to him and riding like a smart veteran, not really having to do crazy sprint speeds, but letting the race come to him. And what, he still ended up on the podium, didn't he? Or what?
Yeah, he
I didn't even pick him for top five, but I was, you know, again, like just that smart veteran move. And then Cooper being strong, consistent, and grabbing opportunities, like making them happen and being crafty. Like, you know, I'm really excited to see where he's coming out the rest of the season. Like, you know, and again, like I think Jet's going to be making rookie mistakes, almost maybe riding like Sexton has in the past couple championships. And
yeah, I've seen people make comments on Instagram. They're like, who gave Jet Hunter or Chase's bike from last year? Man. I think it's kind of funny, and I'm not really on that hate train of Jet Lawrence, but I just hate seeing someone dominate, and he seems like this really cocky kid. Then going back last week with him, that incident with Anderson, it's like, dude.
He lost so many fans, including, like, I lost respect for him. And, like, I didn't really care for him because, like you said, he's just making the racing kind of boring. I do like him as far as, like, talent, but just his ability in the class, it's – and how he did in the outdoors, I'm just like, like we're all sick of hearing about him too. Like,
yeah, they throw it down everyone's throat on social media and
dude, like even though,
like everything.
The first 250 main, they just randomly went to like him pushing his bike on the line, like behind Anderson. It's like, okay, there's a battle going on. Why are we watching them pick their gates?
Like, that's one thing I've been pissed off about. Is like, I know the broadcast can't be perfect, and it's almost like Monday, you know, morning quarterbacking or whatever it's called. You know, for football, like, oh, yeah, this guy was wide open or whatever. And you can do that, I guess, in every sport. And then, especially in a broadcast, I think motocross, they've talked about this in other podcasts, too. It's a lot harder than, you know, to find every battle out there and stuff. But there's some stuff, we hear the crowd just going crazy. And we're just like, I don't know if it happened during, the Chiefs are playing right now. They're tied at 7 each. That's what we have a score update right now. But yeah, we're recording Sunday at 3:41 right now, in the middle of that, and trying to get done before the second playoff game. We got our hometown team. I'm gonna die tonight if the Lions making it. I'm gonna get blackout drunk, and I gotta go to work, so I can't do that though. But if I had work, I'd be streaking down the street or something. But I feel like some stuff was happening when they showed Jet on the broadcast, but it's like he's picking his gate. Or last week there was a battle going, and you could like they flipped off a really good battle, so we knew one was already happening already, not like the spotter didn't see it or some things. I was just like, really? Like, they flipped off the battle, and I don't even know who it was at this point anymore. But then they show someone else, and you hear the crowd just going crazy, and 20 seconds later they're like, oh, this guy got passed. It's like, I knew that. Like, I think it was last week too, where I was watching a battle where they're showing some guy, and then I was watching the battle in the other section because I already knew it was happening. And I get the broadcast can't be perfect, but there's some things I'm like, really? And then they talk about Jet all the time. But one really positive I have out of last night's broadcast, when we're talking about this, I guess, for a split second right now, is how did you think Weege did? I think he absolutely killed it. There's a couple mistakes, but I think he did a hell of a lot better than Lee Diffie or Todd, what's his name, Harris or whatever.
I thought he did not even, like, pick up. Like, it just felt so natural. I did not even, like, have the thought like, oh, hey, Jason's in the booth tonight. It just felt so natural and at home, like with him broadcasting, like it didn't even occur to me kind of thing. Like, I was just listening to the broadcast, like just taking it for what it is. Cause I think I'm almost, at least like, I'm so accustomed to Jason why he gets broadcast for the Outdoor Nationals.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of podcasts, and like, I even watch his funny little Racer X, like Weed Show walking through the pits. Like, I'm just so comfortable with him now anymore that like, I'm like used to the way it's, you know, it's so weird saying that about somebody you've like, I guess I did like get interviewed by him on the podium at Loretta's, but you know, like I'm not like friendly with, you know, like I don't know him like that, but you know, I'm just so, cause I've been listening to him for so long now. Like, again, I didn't even, until you said that, I was like, holy smokes. Yeah. He was in the booth.
Yeah. I didn't even know until Race Day Live. Cause I knew I heard him talking about it. And guys, I hear my dog, but I don't know if I just hear with my, like just me hearing her or not through the headphones, but I hope she's not through the headphones. She's not in the studio right now. And normally she's really quiet. And she's whining like a freaking bitch right now. And I'm about to flip out, but I don't think it's through the mic. So I think we're all good right now. But if you hear a dog whining, I'm so sorry. But yeah, I've been so tired of the announcing. And last night I saw that on Race Day Live in the LCQ, I think it was. Or no, was it? Was he in the LCQ? I know Ricky was up there. I think he was, though. But anyways, I saw a post too on Instagram. So anyway, when it seemed like he ended up getting a lot better through the night. But when he first started, you can tell like it looked like he was a little nervous. But man, he did a great job. Like, just I don't know how that guy doesn't have a full-time job doing that, because he fills that role perfectly, and he's been around our sport, so he knows exactly. Like, Lee Diffie knows a little bit, but when you hear, like, in the broadcast, they want to kind of appeal to new listeners and stuff, especially or viewers, like, especially next week in Detroit when they go on NBC, where there's, which I like. I love Peacock, but, like, you're not going to watch motocross, or motocross and supercross, unless you're, like, going down, or unless you're a fan, right? You're just not going to randomly click on it. So that's why I love next week being on national television. But the thing with that is they're trying to appeal to the new viewers. They're explaining stuff, and we're, you know, we're diehard fans over here, so we're like, that's kind of stupid. But I felt like Jason did a good job yesterday kind of explaining some things, like when he was asking Ricky about the whole shot device and stuff like that, where like, we all knew what was going on, but like just how he knew the questions asked for the new viewers, and just to get them to understand what's going on, or, oh, this is how this works or whatever. Yeah. And I thought, like, then for the more diehard fans like us, I felt like he also did a really good job not sounding like it was like, you know, some guys are like, oh, this is, you know, makes it sound really stupid. Like, oh, the red Honda. Yeah. And you're like, what the hell? But yeah, I think he did a really good job. I don't know how he doesn't have a full-time job in Supercross. I think he's the best at it. And then people, I don't get how people give him shit, because I think he does a phenomenal job. And I get it. No one's perfect, right? But like, just to do what he does in the outdoors, I think he does a great job. He's a, like, really, you know, deep into the sport. So, and you know, with Racer X and everything, so he knows everything he's talking about, and then he can prop it up to 14-7. Jeez. I don't know. That's a game. I don't know. I can want the Ravens to win, but if my Lions win, I don't want them playing the Ravens. But I don't know what to think about that. But yeah, like, going back to the broadcast, I'm like on my edge of my seat though about those two football games. So I'm like so nervous today. Like, I'm like so stressed out right now.
Yeah, like I'm kind of going to, like you said, it's awesome. Like you said, like the primetime TV coverage for next weekend's race in Detroit and trying to grow the sport. It's really good. And I mean, I even said it, pointed out when Emma and I were watching it this weekend, the Ghostbusters sponsoring cool. The whole shot. Like as stupid as it sounds, I was like, man, that's a big deal as far as like having what I consider a big kind of sponsorship. Like, I've never seen something like that. You know, it's always been like an insurance company or a cell phone or, you know, Monster Energy, like sponsoring. Yeah,
Butterfingers back in the day, Powerade, which I guess that was cool, but still.
Yeah. So like, but like, as Troy Lee did do the stuff with the Venom movie a few years ago with the gear and the custom painted helmet. But now like the Ghostbusters,
that was cool.
Troy Lee gear, but then them also sponsoring like the whole shot. I saw that as like a big deal. Like, you know, so again, it's like as far as the sport growing and,
yeah,
even like I was thinking about it a little bit too, as far as the sport growing and what are we going to do when Wilson and all these older gentlemen retire and it depletes the 450 field. Not only that, but then combine that with Triumph and Ducati potentially providing factory spots too, where there's going to almost be more rides than ever.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. There's what they showed the manufacturer points last night, and there's 8 with Beto right now.
Mm-hmm.
So with Triumph and Ducati, it'll be 10.
And then you think if they both have 2 riders, that's another 4 factory rides in the 450 class alone, potentially, or, you know, at least 2, if not 4 factory spots.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, like, you know, you add all that up with, like, you know, that'll dang near could be 20 bikes, factory bikes in the main events.
Yeah, like the main, so it would just be full-on factory guys.
And yeah, you know, if you did do 2 factory riders in every class, or in every brand.
Yeah,
if they're,
true.
If you said they're at 8 now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it said 8.
8, and then that'll be 10, and then there's with each of them having 2 bikes, that'll be 20 factory bikes potentially. I mean,
it's crazy. I'm like more or less thinking, like, how's this gonna affect, is our sport growing to where it has to be growing, I guess, if more people or more manufacturers are coming in, right? Because now I'm like, are they just taking a piece of the pie that's already there, but a slice of it or whatever? But yeah, I think it's gonna be good. I want our sport to grow, but I feel like this is the last true normal sport world, where the world is almost normal in our sport. Like, I don't know how to really explain
it. Big controversies, because, like,
yeah, like, we're,
because, like, I mean, this is my first time really watching football, because, like, Emma grew up watching it, so this is like the first year I've really watched football and actually gotten into it. And again, I'm, you know, I don't know anything about it, so it's like I have like that very new outsider perspective, where, like, again, you hear like weird controversies with like U of M or you know, like the coaches and like the NFL or like
there's always drama. Then they're pushing everything in there. Like I've been balls deep in the football since I can remember. Diehard football fan as well as motocross forever. And the one thing I like about moto, it's a small tight knit community, but it's also like the world's normal. Like with everything going on now and how I don't care what you guys think about the whole views of everything, what your political views are, but I hate how they push that into sports. They push that into everything. I feel like motocross, for the most part, they're pretty normal. You know, like there's girls, especially in cycling too. Like I've, you know, it's been a few years, but I was really deep into racing cycling and stuff, and that's all I did. And now you're seeing guys racing the girls' class, and I guess you don't see that in football, right? Girl getting creamed, but in football, they're pushing all that Black Lives Matter, or they're pushing all that LGBTQ plus 10Y, whatever, I don't know, whatever it is. And I just hate how they push stuff into it, and they act like they're some war social media justice, you know, people, like, and then they flip out about everything, and then, like, in football, it's cool to see, like, they have the whole thing right now with, what's-her-face, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, but it's like, she's almost, I guess, like more or less Jet. They just push her, like, oh, look at her on the broadcast. But Jet's, I guess that's a really bad comparison. But
yeah, Jet's better looking, you're right.
Yeah, he's way hotter, man. No, but like
this like tight pants post last weekend.
No. On his Instagram?
Did you see that?
No.
Oh,
I didn't.
I gotta find that. Okay.
Oh, but like, I guess that was a bad comparison.
Keep talking, I'll find it.
Okay. That was a bad comparison. But like they so much of the outside world tries to get pushed, and they try to do their you know, like act like they're all these activists and stuff. And motocross, we're just normal dudes wanting to have a good time. And NASCAR is a really, really redneck sport for the most part. Not everyone, I'm not saying 100%. But like even them, you see all this gay stuff being pushed, which I'm not here to talk about that, but like I don't care if you're gay, but just don't push that shit on us. And I think motocross, the world's normal. The world's almost not in 2024. We're back in like 2010 when everything was half-ass normal. And that's what I love about the sport. I really want the sport to grow. I really want mainstream attention on the sport. But that's one fear, I guess, when that comes, or if that ever came, how people would just be flipping out about the littlest things ever. And but as of right now, I'm happy. We're not dealing with that stuff. But you got the post up?
Like, yeah, this isn't one of them. But like, they were making like memes about. Cause, like,
oh my god.
Like yeah.
That was like the Barsha stuff.
Like, cause, well, I mean, like, people were just like basically saying like how you could dang near see his junk. Oh, there was like some pretty good memes about it. Like,
it's weird seeing all the stuff with him. Like, there's so many girls I see post this stuff that really don't even follow motocross too deep, and they're just I get it. Like, I don't know, he's growing the sport, but I really don't care for him. But it's, I guess he is getting out, like that whole group, the Lawrence brothers, you know, getting outside attention in. But yeah, I can be talking about that forever. But like, that's why, like, the motocross world is kind of small, but it's normal. Everything doesn't seem like 2024, where everyone is offended by everything, and everyone can just say whatever the hell they want. I guess not that, but you know.
This is the photo that I saw that people are like making memes about.
Oh, Hunter looks normal, and then Jet.
Like, you can, like, set, like how tight his pants are.
Yeah. Almost looks like he has a camel toe going on.
Yeah. Yeah, like, people are sure, like, there were some funny memes going on about it. Okay. Anyway. And we're back.
Yeah, I don't know what we're talking about before I got into that, and you got into the, yeah, Jet stuff. I don't know. But, yeah, I feel like the sport's in a really good spot right now. And going to, I guess, Detroit next week, being on national TV, I think that's really cool. And I hate it being a day race, but it's, I guess, really cool to be on NBC at 3 p.m. Eastern, you know, in the middle of the afternoon there. So, yeah, I think it's going to be cool, but I have no idea what we're talking about before that. But was it?
Like, just how mainstream and, like, I mean, they're just going to be, like, all the factory bikes.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, how Wyget's a good broadcaster. And
yeah, he's
like,
a great shout-out to him, yeah.
Yeah, Ghostbusters sponsorship.
Oh, yeah, then they had the director for Ghostbusters movie. They had him in the booth for a little bit. And it's kind of funny how they almost grill everyone, like all the famous stars they had. They're like, what do you like about motocross? Why is it so great? Or what do you like about supercross? Why is it so great? But they had him in there. It seemed kind of cool. They had the car, too, that they let Justin Barsha drive on the track.
Oh, dude, like, it's Emma and her, like, dad that's, like, they're huge Ghostbusters fans. So, like, you know, like, Emma's dad is, so Emma is, therefore. And, man, like, we were both just like, no way, that is so cool, and they showed that.
I can't believe they let Barsha drive it, too. But yeah. I know I had a teacher in high school that was, like, well, is still a diehard Ghostbusters fan. I'm friends with him on Facebook, and I see Ghostbuster things. I don't know if he saw that in the Supercross, but that dude would just be really stoked to see that. I think it's really cool, and how they have Troy Lee, that is, has outside sponsors, and I didn't even know the broadcast was involved with that until they did the Ghostbusters whole shot thing like you were talking about a second ago.
I mean, you don't remember, like, the Venom thing a few years ago?
I remember that, but that wasn't really on the broadcast, right? That was only Troy Lee. But
yeah, okay, well, it wasn't, but yeah, like, Troy Lee.
Yeah, with the whole Sony Pictures, yeah.
Dude, like, I mean, I'm just talking about, like, his helmets are so sick.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, it's cool to see.
Speaking of that, Levi Kitchen's gear last night, I'm obsessed with it. Like, I've already found it online. I'm, like, ready to order it. It's called the Fox 180 Atlas.
I gotta look. Oh, damn, you just sent a post right now. We're looking up this Levi gear. I kind of remember it. Oh, yeah, that blue stuff.
Like, whatever. Blue and green is like the clouds. Hold on. It's in my Amazon cart. I'll show it to you. Looks so good. Every time they brought them up, Emma had to give you getting sick of me, because every time they showed them, I'm like, man, that gear looks so good.
I thought Chase's stuff from a couple weeks ago looked really good. People said they didn't like it.
Like, that doesn't fit very well on the person modeling it, but, like...
Yeah. Well, you got a Yamaha. I think the blue would go good.
I don't... Well, I guess I do. Yeah. I'm like, I don't even ride the Yamaha. I'm looking to get a Kawasaki here very shortly. Really? Do you want to buy a KTM 350?
No. I want a bike, though, but, yeah, I don't have money. I'll take a donation of a bike. No, the Chase stuff was all right. The Chase stuff I really liked was the Alpine Star stuff from San Diego. That gray stuff was cool. You know what gear is really cool, though? I think my favorite gear so far this year is the Star stuff, or the Thor stuff that Star had in their photo shoot. That blue and black and yellow. That gear is so cool.
Dude, I even like Justin Cooper's gear last night, which is Alpine Star, like that black and yellow. I thought that looked pretty sharp. Yeah. I didn't really like Cooper Webb's
gear. Yeah, Cooper. Yeah, that was so bright. Oh my god.
Like, it looked good, but it's funny. I mean, like it just doesn't look like sharp. Like I would wear that gear, but like Justin Cooper's gear looked just like mean and like.
And that looked good. Mean. So if you're riding alone at some track and Emma was there, you know, she would see you fall if you fell like a half mile away or something.
I don't. I mean, I've been like wearing like bright red gear when we go to the track, and she has to watch. Like, so hopefully that helps out. And
yeah, look at that Thor stuff. That's so, like, when I grew up and going to the track.
Is that the stuff you're talking about?
Yeah. Like, when
stuff,
I
that does.
It looks awesome. Like, when I grew up, Thor was the badass gear to wear. Like, it was. And Alpine Stars always looked cool, but it wasn't here in the States really. But yeah, that stuff looked good in that Cooper had last night. But Thor was the gear to have, and I loved it. That's what, like, all the stuff I ran was Thor, but it was all Joey's hand-me-downs, so it had it was all holes in it and stuff, but I thought it looked sick, so when I was wearing it, like, I'm like, this stuff's so cool.
Right.
Like, the old Thor, the old school, like, the 08, 09, 2010 stuff, like, that red, I don't have a jersey. Oh, I have one in this here?
Something like, Cooper Webb, like, last night when he showed up and he had the blue boots and the blue gloves. With the Cooper Webb's, like, that gear, like, that highlighter. But, like, the blue boots and the blue gloves.
That stood out.
That looks clean.
Yeah. You'll see him if he's behind you. If you go to turn and see him, in the back. Yeah,
doesn't Joey have those blue boots?
I think so. I think he's wearing Alpine Stars now.
Yeah, and I think he has the blue hair. Almost.
We'll have to give him a call here. I know I talked to him last night after Supercross ended about, you coming over here and getting on the podcast really early today, but no, he has stuff going on. All that Thor stuff that's white and orange, I thought that stuff was cool too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, all the looking good. Look at the blue boots.
Oh, yeah, blue boots. It's so weird now. Like, remember when we were growing up, how the boots were like white and black? Now it's like a million different colors.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Sure. Or before, like, I remember it was just white or black, and I had both sets. Not at the same time, but I always thought it was really clean and really neat looking, but now it's like, so many different things, like your Fox boots too, colorful. But yeah, I guess let's kind of talk about the 250 class a little bit more. I'll get some of the stuff pulled up about that. What is, I don't know, your biggest standout or shock, surprise, or whatever. What are you surprised about the most? Or
you know, like I'm like impressed by Levi. Or, Levi Kitchen just looking like strong and consistent, and said my biggest surprise is probably how bad Shimoto's doing. And then Beaumaire, like I've been getting high expectations for him. Like he's showing flashes of speed, but it is just chalking up to like it is his rookie season, so we're gonna have to be patient. But I like have high expectations for Julian Beaumaire moving forward.
He looks good. Like yeah.
He looks good, and so does his girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah, we covered that last week. We covered that last week, and yeah, she's what is she?
She's a like a barrel racing cowgirl that has not made a post.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know it.
Yeah, because like, you'd have to go back 2 years in her posts past like all of her half naked pictures to find her actually riding a horse. But yeah.
I didn't get no comments on the talk about that last week. Yeah, I think that's a really good talking point of why are girls posting half naked pictures. I don't know, but I'll be here and cool. But like, and, oh, you fucking asshole guys sexualizing everything. Well, stop doing that. I don't go off, but yeah, yeah, he has to have a lot of confidence. You know, he has some good stuff going on right now in his life. But yeah, he looked really good. I was starting to do a preview for last weekend or this weekend. On Friday, and didn't end up publishing that episode. I had some issues with the audio. I really didn't like it, so I'm like, fuck it, I won't do it. But I was talking about how Beaumaire looked really good in his Supercross debut in A1, where, remember, if you go back to Jet a couple years ago, and I don't know if this is that great of a comparison, but remember how he was leading to the last lap?
And then he fell?
Yeah, so it's different because he was leading pretty much the whole race, right? And Beaumaire wasn't leading in A1 for that long, nearly that long, but... So it's not 100% spot on of a comparison there, but with Beaumaire, he just looked so much in control. He looked so smooth, like he belonged there. He didn't look like a rookie at all. Where Jet, he did have faster speed. He did hold on to that until the last lap and fell. But that whole race, I think everyone was on the edge of their seat because he almost ate shit so many times. I remember like there's a couple close calls he had, and that was only on camera. Like I wasn't there in the stands at Anaheim, so I have no idea how many other close calls he had. But with Beaumaire, like he dropped back the fifth or sixth or whatever it was that night, but he just looked really smooth, really smart. He looked kind of like a veteran, I guess, in a sense. But I think he's looking really good right now. It's just hard to tell, I guess, with the two mud races. But I feel like last night wasn't the best result, but I think he has some good stuff going on right now to where this season he can really put a good, solid rookie season in Supercross and go into the outdoors and I think do the same, then coming next year with a hell of a lot of more confidence and with that experience for him to do good. But I'm really impressed by the Club MX team. Club MX is killing it. They have a lot of bad luck so far too, but like Phil did really good. He was leading there for a couple laps. I thought RJ was going to take him out, though. I was a little bit nervous about that. I was on the edge of my seat right there. Or I don't even think I was sitting down. I think I was standing up watching that, but edge of my toes. But... yeah, he did really good. And then Marchbanks, I think Marchbanks is like third overall. I could be mistaken. I have the results up right now. I gotta get the points up. Here we go. So overall points, we got, no, he's fourth overall right now, 14 points back of Kitchen. So yeah, Kitchen and Smith. That makes sense now. Yep. So I think he's doing really good and I'm really pumped for him. Yeah, him, and I guess the biggest surprise so far is, for me, has been Anthony Borden. I had no idea who that guy was going into this year, really. Like,
keep seeing his name pop up. You're like, wait, what?
I seen him a little bit from overseas stuff, but like, I'm like, what? He's up front, and it's like each week, what? He's still up front, and then he's on the RM Army, baby. So a little surprising seeing him up front, but yeah, pumped for him. He's really killing it. I guess just the storyline of this season so far has been just the inconsistency and just the weird stuff that has been thrown at us so far with the mud races and Nicoletti stuff, Shimoda stuff.
Okay, so like Nicoletti, like, so close. Like, after the two races, he was in third place, and I was like, dude, just consistent last moto. Phil, you'll be on the podium. Like, you'll finish. Yeah. And then he, like, I think he got, like, last, like, 21st.
Yeah, I saw him drop down. I'm like, what's going on? I don't know
what happened. Yeah, but, man, I was like, okay, dude, just solid start, just consistent laps. You could like, hang on for a podium finish, man. And then 21st. I was like, what's going on? Like, the bad luck. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I have him up here right now. He went 7-4-18. So yeah, he must have. I saw him went down the last and he caught up a little bit. So I don't know what the hell happened there, but yeah, he was in that podium spot going into the third moto, I believe. So he's like right there, yeah. Where I knew if Levi Kitch and RJ and Nate and Shimoda, if they didn't get shit luck, they would be up there. So he'd get bumped out of the podium. But still, I think he would have been with a really good overall result. But still, he got 10th with a 7-4-18. But and Marchbanks isn't that better that round. He got 9th with a 6-16-5. So, but like I think a little bit of bad luck with that team, or that team's having right now, I should say. But I think they're doing really good though. Besides that, and really pumped for them too. And I think the East Coast should be good. We got Jeremy Martin coming out next week. He did great at Detroit last year.
Yeah, I know you're not a big fan, but I am hyped for Faulkner this season.
I kind
of
am.
He's fingers crossed. Like I really like him. I don't know if you've ever known, but like I bought some of his merch, and I never buy any of those guys' merch. I bought an All Fun hat. Like I've worn the snot out of it. Like
really?
I like him. I just like the punk rock music, his YouTube videos. I mean, he's just
and he's a hot wife.
did you see the photo shoot? They built merch. I didn't buy it. Like I showed it to Emma and like
oh with the
still smoking. Like she's on the two stroke.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. Like that. And like I showed it to Emma, and I'm just like, can we get like photos of this, like you know, view made, and then like can we sell them, like you know, like kind of just how weird is that premise kind of thing? Like, I mean, she is a model, so is it weird? But at the same time, it's like Austin's like literally like, here, buy pictures of my wife half naked sitting on my dirt bike.
Yeah,
you know, like you know, give me money for it. It's just, you know, I guess I don't know. It's weird. Funny. Yeah, Emma's like, we could take photos like that, but nobody else is seeing them. Like, like those are just for us. Like, I'm like, fine. Like,
we gotta keep them in a secret drawer.
As we're next to me coming to my house, they would be like pulling drawers out, ripping them out. Like, where are they?
Hey, oh no, no, don't go in there, man.
What bike is she on? Which one is it? Is it the KTM or the Yamaha?
I knew what you're doing when you weren't answering that phone that one day. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I wonder who came up with that idea, but it has to be a little bit weird. But yeah, she's a monster girl, and
it was a pretty sweet photo shoot. But I like it more when the girl's like mysterious. You don't know her identity. Not like this is Faulkner's wife. Like
yeah, like the trans world stuff.
Yeah,
like you open up the old trans worlds, and you got a cool photo of who would be like Ricky Carmichael at the time, and you flip it over, and you got like
a chick on his bike.
Yeah, some chick on Travis Pastrana's bike or whatever. I remember having, when I was growing up, I had posters, like magazine posters, all on my wall. My whole wall in my room was these jerseys that I have in the studio. Okay. Or at that point, I don't think I really had any of these, really. But then I just had posters. Most of them, I think, were actually the Rider because I was like 8 years old. But they had to be some like bikini ones in there. But yeah, now it's like, oh yeah, here's my wife. Pay me $24 plus shipping. But I don't know. I've never been a fan of him. At all. Like, I'm not a hater. I don't hate people, but I kind of hated him. But now, like, with the last couple of years, he's kind of grown on me. I'm kind of rooting for him. Like, I don't want to tell Joey right now. I hope he's not listening. Kind of rooting for Faulkner, man. But, seeing that, like, Joey and Faulkner and Chase battle, you know, growing up, I really didn't care for Faulkner after just seeing that, but seeing how he was, but the last couple of years, I am rooting for him though, and I don't know, like I like seeing Chase get a lot more success than him, and like going in, Chase was the underdog, Faulkner was the guy. He was in that under AC, you know, it was like AC is the guy at Kawasaki, right? And then now, oh, Faulkner's the big deal at Kawasaki, then Chase was kind of, oh yeah, he's another A guy that's coming up, and he's good. He has a Geico ride, right? He had that star ride for a bit, but that was kind of. Like I don't know how long he had that star ride, but he ended up, you know, switching over the Geico before going pro. Mm-hmm. Then Sexton won that championship, and everyone's like, oh, that should have been Faulkner's where he got hurt. I think it was in the injury, mm-hmm. Which I can agree with that. And now you can't argue that Sexton is clearly the better rider. But it just goes to show, and Joey talks about it too, like when you get hurt and then you're consistently getting hurt every year or every other year, it's just so hard to keep that momentum going.
Yeah, you can't keep building and climbing, like, up the hill. You know what I mean? It's just, like you said, it's just, you kills your momentum, those injuries. And like you said, So it's like you say Sexton's the better rider, but it's like, is Sexton the better rider because he's just had fewer injuries? Would Faulkner be where Sexton's at if he didn't have injuries.
Yeah, I think 100%. And, like, honestly, no bias here. Like, I think if...
I almost think, like, Faulkner's got more, maybe, like, raw talent and speed. Just comparing Faulkner to rookie season Sexton.
He looked like...
Like, he would hang it out and...
He had that red plate for a while, and he looked like he was a contender. Like, not a contender. He was the guy. He looked like, he was the guy that season. Yeah, he looked like... There's guys that have speed and then guys that... They have speed that don't look like they have it all together, like RJ. He has speed,
I was just thinking of him, yeah.
You're like, dude, what's going to happen here? Like, almost like throwing shit at the wall and see what's going to stick. Like, is he going to... Is this speed going to work for him? But, yeah, Faulkner did look like the guy. And it's just weird to see with injuries. It's like with Dean Wilson, too. And I guess his knees are so fucked up now that he's not at 100%. But, like, guys, like, our sport's so brutal. Like, Faulkner and... And Chase and Joey were growing up, and Joey was kicking everyone's ass. And then Faulkner started to come on a little bit more, and both those guys were smoking Chase. And then Chase, you know, had that healthy streak for a while, and then he came and overpassed them. And then Joey, like, was, you know, behind those guys a little bit. But then you'd see him, like, he had that one good year in Canada, right? And when he was finally healthy for a year, and it seemed like he kept on getting hurt. And then when he actually had a time to build something, like, you're like, holy crap, he's back. And then he could, I know he's capable of a hell of a lot more. Then going to Supercross, he had that year in, was it 2020? Went in Arlington when he was up there battling for a little bit, and Joey, like, Chase got him, but he still was looking really good. But then, you know, he got hurt that year, then it's like trying to restart. And he talks about it too, like, it's so hard to keep that momentum, and especially, like, guys expecting Tomac to be right back. That's why I was really impressed with him last night with, you know, him coming back, because he normally doesn't ever get hurt, so he's constantly building, you know, has these building blocks going on and building a really good platform, but, or whatever you want to call it, I guess. That's not a really good word for it, but yeah, like, now Faulkner getting hurt, like, time and time after again, it sucks. And then you see him and Jet would just smoke him, right? Where you know Faulkner is capable of a hell of a lot. Same with Joey's capable of a hell of a lot if he's healthy. And then same with Chase, which I think Chase is really surprising people. Now, he's not now, but going into, you know, a couple years ago, you didn't think he'd be this guy, right? But no, or a few years ago.
Well, they say he only had like two or three Supercross wins on a 250 when he switched to 450s.
Yeah, like, I remember.
Like, he won the championship, but with like maybe three 250 Supercross wins.
I think Faulkner might have more that year too.
Yeah, yeah, well, way more. Man, he just went DNF the rest of the season. That's why.
Yeah, it wasn't New Jersey. He got hurt. Or he's Rutherford. Yeah, whatever. That is New
Jersey. Yeah, like, he turned pro into the 450 pro motocross Supercross. Sexton did with maybe three. I don't even think it was that many Supercross wins.
And everyone thought he was going too early.
Yeah.
And everyone was kind of right for. They weren't right, but for at the time, it's like, yeah, why is he getting bumped up? But then he proved everyone wrong, but. It's like, yeah, he wasn't the best by any means at all. Faulkner was the guy, and I was expecting, if I was a betting man, I would be, like, 5 years ago, I thought Faulkner would be where Sexton is right now, and Sexton would kind of be where, I don't know, Justin Cooper or something, you know, back there.
Yeah.
Outside the top 10, but, like, last year, Chase Sexton was the guy with the raw speed, you know, going in the qualifying. They talked about it on the broadcast last year where it was, you know, last night he just let Jet by, but... He still has raw speed, but, you know, getting used to the bike and everything. But, no. Yeah, like, now it's, like, holy crap, it's kind of different. Like, if you just go back 5, 6, 7 years ago, like, I think what we expected is crazy.
Somebody else that was kind of in this group but a little bit ahead of it that hasn't brought up yet is with Cincerillo, too.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know if you heard that comparison. I heard it last people talking last week, or the comparison, comparing Cincerillo's career is kind of turning into, like, a Dean Wilson career.
Yeah, yeah, and Dean was great at the beginning of the year, beginning of his career.
Like, battling days with Tomac, like, smoking him, like...
Yeah, like those pro circuit days, I remember watching him, you know, his whole, I guess, career.
Yeah.
And then going into, like, the shootouts, he was just doing great, and he's...
He's a really good dude, but...
Yeah, he's not up there.
And that's kind of... Now is that the same thing for Cincerillo? Like, it was injury and gritting out, and he was really fast, and... And then he finally got his 1250 title and moved up to 450s, and then he's just kind of fizzling out. It seems like I was so sad last night to hear that he's battling another hand injury on his other hand right now. That's why he sat out last night.
Yes, like I saw. Did you see his story? You gotta, I guess, pull it up. But or I guess I can pull it up and play it over the mic. It's just a video of him. I'll play it so we all can hear it here. But it's just a video of him. It looks like he's at his pool or whatever, at his house or something. Because I know he lives. Oh, yeah, that's not on all the way, guys.
The day we were hoping for.
Adam,
if you haven't seen the news, I won't be out there racing tonight at Anaheim 2, which, if you know me, you know what kills me.
Sounds like it just really sucks, you know.
Yeah, Anaheim 1 obviously basically got ran into by another rider in the last turn and did some damage to kind of my finger, top of my hand area, and it's been bothering me since. And thankfully, the last couple of races, as hectic and stressful as it's been, the mud races actually really helped me get through it a little bit slower speed and, just a little bit easier on the hand in general. So, yeah, I got out there today and it just wasn't happening for me. I didn't feel safe out there. I don't want to be, I don't want to go out there and do something silly when I really wasn't capable of going too fast anyway. You know, normally when this kind of thing happens, you know how we are, and especially athletes, it's like it's easy to feel like you're the most important person in the world, right? And that your problems are so massive, and you just feel like the world is collapsing on you sometimes, to put it lightly. Normally I would just delete Instagram, delete Twitter, so I could not subject myself to any type of, hate or whatever, but I figured if I was really gonna be about it, be authentic and kind of, if I was gonna be myself, then I need to get on here and say something. I still, even in this moment right now, when it's painful, I care about this stuff.
So yeah, that was only halfway through. So if you guys, it's Saturday or Sunday right now. So that was 19 hours ago. So it'll be done Sunday night. So by the time this comes out, probably just be getting off his story. But it just goes to show how much they love the sport and stuff.
That's his girlfriend right there.
Oh yeah, that throwback weekend last week. Is that the lacrosse?
Yeah,
the field hockey. Yeah.
It's funny because he even tagged her in it, but if you know, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, we do some deep dives here. I haven't done it in a while. Actually, I haven't gone down any rabbit holes.
Like I said, that one recently was just with Juju's girlfriend and stuff like that. I do keep an eye out to see if Adam's girlfriend, she did a few YouTube videos kind of showing the behind the scenes of the field hockey stuff. She hasn't posted anything since the start of her college school year though.
He's a good guy. It sucks.
I was getting confident about him. Just feeling I'm like, oh man, he could start building some momentum this season. He seems healthy. He did the whole season outdoors.
Yeah, not last year, but when he first moved in the 450s and did the monster crop, you're like, holy crap. I guess it wasn't that surprising because AC, I remember watching him as a kid and he was just so good. And it was almost, I remember if you got second, it's almost like you won because AC was that good,
Oh yeah.
And then I know amateurs is different, but he looked amazing. Then seeing him come in Detroit and he won Detroit. Then he had that gnarly shoulder injury. In his rookie year, he looked small still. He wasn't fully grown, which is crazy. He was a small kid. Now he's some big, tall guy. Or I guess not big, but a tall guy. And, yeah, it just sucks. All these guys get hurt, and not all of them, but it just sucks. I guess my point is guys like Dean and then guys, Cincerulo, Faulkner, Joey, and all these guys I think are capable of a lot more and stuff, and just seeing them get hurt it and throw off this momentum they have built is I guess kind of a little bit heartbreaking, because I feel in his post too, he said how he just wanted to delete Instagram and Twitter because how he's gonna get hate for it. It's stupid. I think these guys, or I know these guys love it. He talked about how he loves it, and then talking to Joey, I talked to him a few times a week, and I know how much love he has for the sport and how much it kills them not to be out there, right? And I hate when people, that's a whole other thing too, people start ranting on social media, why isn't he out here, or what, with Cincerulo, it's a hand injury, so what? And it's I think these guys would kill to be out there and riding, but if there's a level where, Cincerulo said, he's like, that, it's kind of unsafe for me right now, so.
Yeah.
It just sucks.
Talking about all these like career trajectories and like, you know, it takes one crash and then you're just never able to get back to where you were kind of thing. Like some of these guys, I mean, like Ryan Villopoto, he got back to where he was. Like even Eli after his shoulders got back to, but like I've just, as far as like these newer guys like Jet Lawrence, like the confidence and how cocky he is.
Like, yeah, I think
I said it last week. I'm like, I think I'm like holding my breath, like, and I shouldn't be, but I'm just like, it's very reminiscent of like Kenny's.
Yeah, he was on fire his HRC days of that first year.
Then his catastrophic arm injury, or even trying to think of like other guys, but even like same thing, like you're talking, you know, or Adam Cincirillo, where he was as an amateur coming in and seemed very dominant right off the bat, or Faulkner, and then they got beat down. I mean, like, same thing. I don't want to say it or like, you know, whatever, but I mean, like, watch, like, Hayden Deegan, watch out. It'll take one mistake this season to knock you down to where you're just constantly trying to, you know, claw your way back up, but just to keep getting knocked down like a Faulkner or an Adam Cincirillo. Like, I mean, hopefully that doesn't happen, but I mean, we've seen it happen time and time and time again.
That's what I love.
So, like, we got, like, the Hayden Deegan hype and the
Jet Lawrence.
And instead, it just takes one, like, swift kick, and they're fucking hurting, and, you know.
Yeah, it's just,
that's how the sport is.
I love seeing confidence in these guys and stuff, and I think a lot of people's fans, like, I was even thinking about the other day, it's like, if you put your guys in these guys' shoes or whatever, the way you go about stuff, and like, hearing Chase talk or whatever about stuff with this bike, like, I kind of get a different view of it, right? But I love the confidence, but I hate the cockiness in some of these guys, right? I just love the humbleness of, like, Tomac. Like, he seems really confident, but he's really humble at the same time. And you see guys like you're saying, Deegan and Jet, you're like, watch out. Like, him and the Whoops. Like, I was here alone at my house watching San Diego, and he, like, went through and passed a bunch of people in that heat race in the Whoops. I'm like, that's holy crap. That's, if he can do that consistently, that's going to be scary, but I think he's going to fall. And it was like one of the next laps he fell. Yeah. And it's like, I guess you got to know when to tune it down a little bit and ride a little bit smarter, and because you can't be really flirting with that edge. And even Ricky was talking about that before he fell, or was it after he fell? He's like, yeah, he was flirting with the edge there.
Yeah, I'm almost like seeing like Ricky's like not a fan, because I can't, like, Ricky's
of that comment on
Jason Anderson's post. Yeah, yeah. It's funny because they made like a huge little segment on the broadcast last night, but they didn't show Ricky's comment. Like, as you figured, they probably wouldn't, just because he's like in the booth and don't want to.
Yeah, they showed Stu Baylor's. They showed
Danger Boys. I mean,
they showed Danger Boys. I'm like, oh, this. I'm like, he's a young cocky kid too. Like,
yeah.
But it made me laugh because that was almost like so much disrespect at Jet. Like, yeah, he's a little bitch and he's a little, little kid throwing a tantrum, pretty much. And did you see, like, I think
they blurred. They only showed like the first sentence of Anderson's post. They didn't even show like the whole thing. Like, where it really got into it and really called him out.
I hate it. Yeah, because they took one sentence with the quote, and here's another quote. Another quote. It's like, take the whole screenshot of it. But yeah, that was funny. Then,
now I've been like paying attention for it, and Ricky's commentating where he's been kind of like shitting on Jet a little more, which is, again, a little change of pace, as like we were saying. Yeah. Like, we're tired of having him shoved down our throat. So yeah, let's kind of make him the bad guy for a little bit.
I like it, but I'm like, also it might be a little scary, because if he's a bad guy, like, I just know, like, with me, I loved, like, I think everyone knows. This is a little bit different, because I think when you're the bad guy, normally people are, unless you're Freezy, because you're the bad guy because you clean people out. But if you're, like, this underdog type thing where people are saying, oh, yeah, like, rooting against you or whatever, it's more or less they don't think you can do it. Everyone, I think, knows Jet can do it, be up there and be the guy, right? But now I'm like, he might use this in the motivation. And I just don't want to see pure dominance. I want to see good racing. And plus, I don't want to see a little cocky kid just run away with this, right? Yeah. I want to see Chase is an awesome guy. I don't know him personally, but I know people that know him personally that say, like, seriously, he's a really good guy and stuff. And everyone knows how good of a guy Tomac is, right? So I just hate seeing the cocky kid. And even going back to Ken Roczen, I loved him, though, that his not his rookie year, but his first year on HRC when he was killing it. But yeah, one small mistake and led to that gnarly arm injury that he's still dealing with to this day. You know, he's still not 100%. He's still not the same Ken Roczen that he was. Like, he was so dominant. Like, I don't even know what he could have done that year. Like, those first three rounds, he had smoked everyone. Mm-hmm. And then his whole world got flipped upside down. But, yeah, then I think it goes into a lot of, I guess, off topic for this episode that we've been getting into. But we've talked about it a lot in the past of it, like him and his girlfriend or wife now, like going in and like he seems like he has his head on straight, right, and having a good away from off the track stuff. He has everything set 100%, whereas some of these guys, it's like I feel like I don't know really where I was going with that, but like it feels like this is all they really have, right? Mm-hmm. And then Roczen, like he had a really good driving force to get back and had his head straight to get back and kill or and start killing it. But the guy I'm thinking of is what's his face from France that got hurt, the Brian
Moreau.
Yeah, you see it, like he makes posts. I haven't seen his posts in a while, but I feel so bad for him because he's making posts. It's pretty much like it seems like he's living so much in the past. But if I were him, like I don't blame him. I'm not talking crap right now. I'm just saying I don't blame him because what happened to him was freaking horrible. And then the way like the Alpine Star medical crew, like it's a whole lawsuit right now with Feld. And I saw like some new stuff on Twitter about that and how Feld said they did nothing wrong. But like the whole thing with that, like that could have resulted in him being, you know, how he's fucked up right now and paralyzed. But and I need to go into that little rabbit hole and see exactly what's going on with him. I haven't really followed him in a bit. I saw his post a couple years ago, like all the time, but I haven't seen anything. I don't know if I'm just not seeing his post on Instagram or he's not posting as much, but I want to see exactly how he's doing right now and stuff. So I will look that up after, I guess, during this episode. But the thing with him, like, I just feel so bad for the kid because the kid finally had an American, you know, factory ride. He comes over here, first race, and he just has his career ended and his life altered just like that. You know, snap of fingers there.
Or even like Jesse Nelson too. Like,
yeah,
I always forget Brian Moreau's name. Unfortunately, like so, it's really sad to say, but
no one talks about him really that much, except for the little, not the little, but the lawsuit he does have.
Yeah,
I can't even find. Do you have him pulled out there?
I did. He hasn't really posted anything
really. But Jesse Nelson seems like he has some really good stuff going on right now with the whole off road stuff. But still, like, for him, can't imagine that, you know, the way he's going through and stuff. But that's why I don't know, a little depressing part of her.
Jesse Nelson does seem like he's doing all right.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. he's doing pretty good.
He's doing okay.
But, yeah, it seems like he's really doing good off-road, too. Dang. I
think he's... All right.
Yeah, that's a good note. But
30 seconds left in the half for the football game.
Really? First half's almost over with? Holy crap. Yeah. I don't really know who to root for. I wish this game was second, then I would know who to root for. Now I'm like, depending on how it goes later in this game.
Yeah, I like your outlook. Like you said, you want them to burst the Chiefs. That's a good...
But I hate the Chiefs, though. So if the Lions lose, I don't want the Chiefs being in there. All those guys
like,
so cocky.
Because like I was saying before, like just the talk of like the NFL being rigged and like the outlooks are. But I mean, you can almost see it like them wanting it to fall in favor of the Chiefs, just for publicity for their stupid player that's dating Taylor Swift, just for publicity.
I have a bone to pick, which I guess that ticks me. The whole thing with him kind of being a sellout, but I guess everyone can have a different opinion on that. Just he's, you know, doing all these advertisements and stuff and.
But you got to do it while you can, man. Like, get all that money while you can so you can have, like, a relaxed life.
Yeah, and if he marries T-Swift, you know, he doesn't want to be the guy making no money, right?
Oh, dude, yeah. I mean, honestly, I could see it.
Yeah, well, she's making a hell of a lot more, but, you know, so he's like, hey, honey, I still make a lot of money. I'm not your bitch. But that's crazy. Imagine if, like, some moto guy started dating, like, some, like,
celebrity. Oh, you mean, like, Carrie Hart and Pink?
Like that. I mean, like, an active rider right now.
Okay, yeah,
but still, that was pretty big, though.
That was pretty big. I'm trying to think of like anybody else that's really.
Hey, what's going on with Jet? Like, come on.
Oh, maybe you could see it, or yeah, maybe like Hayden. I could maybe like see who he locks down or something.
I think yeah, he could yeah date someone
like somebody. I mean, because like Hayden's already super kind of famous in a sense with all of his like social media following and stuff.
Yeah, who do we got really? We just have
Axel's girlfriend or fiance, or whatever. She like, have you seen the amount of followers she has? She is like huge.
No.
Like
not in the last couple of years, no.
Dude, huge following.
Isn't that more than him or something? Like crazy.
Oh yeah, way more than him.
Is she still like a Bang model or whatever? Like Bang energy drinks?
I don't know.
Last I heard, I'm like, I thought that was weird just because he was a big monster guy.
Axel has 1.6 million. 1.6 million. She has 2.7 million.
Ooh.
I don't know what she's up to, but yeah.
You know what's weird though? Like, I don't know. I don't really find it weird, I guess, but it's my observation so far is all these guys are dating models. Like, they don't have no. Like, they need to have some singer or something to date. And I think that'd be so cool. Like, an outside person bringing spotlight in. But maybe that spotlight, like I was talking about earlier, that we don't need. But if the whole thing with McAdoo, too, is his wife probably has more followers than him.
Yeah,
our podcast right now is
keep talking like she's doing all right.
Or Chase Sexton's girlfriend.
Yeah, she's really young, though.
How young?
I don't know. She's younger than him.
What, Chase is my age? What, he's 23 or 24?
I feel like she's in her early 20s. Like, maybe even 21.
What am I looking up?
Cameron has more followers than...
Oh, you're faster. What's 106K? I thought she'd have more than that.
God.
Oh, that 106K, that's nothing, man. 158. Oh, I thought he had more, too. Holy crap. All these people are getting engaged lately. This is so random for the episode, but I was on my Instagram feed after I was looking it up. I'm like, everyone I know is getting engaged. Dang. Holy crap. Behind the times, man. But, yeah, getting back to the racing. I think Detroit will be good. We got a little swing. East Coast, we got the whole star army of a million riders on their team.
Should oh, dude, yeah, well, I'm surprised we haven't heard anything about Mosman. I wonder how that went.
Yeah, though that was kind of a lock-in, and then I didn't hear anything after that. Because the rumor was like, oh, he's filling in for Thrasher, and I was like, no, Thrasher is racing. It was last week, and I'm like, no, Thrasher is racing San Diego. But it sounds like he still was on the team, though. Which I'm surprised that no one talks about that at all. Or not no one, but not that many people. But I guess one thing that's over with now is the Jorge Prado USA experience. He left the US, I think, pretty good. What, P10 in points right now?
Yeah, he finished 12th last night. And that's what's important because some of us caught him for the wild.
You did? That's you caught up to me. Huh? Yeah. I was second. No, you're catching up, though.
Yeah. I did pretty good for points last night.
I was so pumped because normally, like, I do good in fantasy football. Fantasy Supercross suck. But we got a shout-out to Trevor Gunlock right now. He is number one in our group. And then your brother's P2.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Is that Emma in third?
I think so, yeah. She had a little bit of
the Brave?
Yep.
Yeah. I didn't know who that was when I was recording the preview Friday. Well, it's been
because everybody I've been telling them that's in our group, I'm like, yeah, Emma's doing really good. They're like, who is she? And I'm like, because, like, last week she was winning. I'm like, oh, she's, like, winning. Like, well, that's her. I'm like, yeah. So, like,
I didn't know that was.
No, like, I like how she switched up her name this year, kind of that sneak attack. Like, you're like, who the heck is this? Just killing it. It's like, oh, it's Emma.
It doesn't even show her name underneath of it. But you're digging your way out of last.
Yeah.
Second to last. Not counting my second account. I don't count
it. Well, like I said, that one. And then that account that I'm now beating is also another inactive account for our friend Brett.
He's not doing it no
more? Yeah, no, like he is. He had to create another account. Like, if you notice, he had two of them in there with that same name. And it's funny.
Okay.
His like crappy like his like dead account that like locked him out for whatever reason, so he had to make a new one. Is like I just surpassed it. I'm like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, normally you're killing it, and I don't look at the fantasy results after a couple weeks. I'm so far out of it, I really don't care no more. But I'm in this for the long haul, and I went from P2 to P6. I had a bad night. I don't know what I was overall ranked, you know.
Yeah,
I'm 35,265. I don't even know where I was at before. Yeah, our leader's 3,800, so that's pretty good. But yeah, we need to get more people in that group. That if you transfer over, it carries over your points, right? In Rocky Mountain. Yeah. So you can just,
because like Emma's doing so well, I'm like, man, I'm like almost tempted to like have her jump into the one group that I'm paying to be in, just like swap out, be like, no, that's me, and then just like win it with her account that she's just been killing it.
Is she making 100% of the picks, or are you like, both talking about it?
Well, yeah, we converse, but she's like very much just coming to her own conclusions. I'm not like telling her who to pick. Like last night, I was like, I don't know, I'm gonna pick Jorge Prado for 12th. I'm just feeling something. And then she's like, oh, okay. And then she like pretty much purposely picked somebody else just because I was picking Jorge, like kind of just like, oh. And then, like, same thing. She was like, I'm going to pick Jet to win. So then I picked Jet to win.
Yeah, same here.
And then I was like, kind of,
I had Craig and, he got 14th, though. I had him in 12th, but I saw him in the first moto. I was like, no, I'm screwed. But he went 17, 12, 13. Oh, dang, he was right there, though, besides that 17th. Yeah, I had Craig, and I had, I might have swapped Hunter out my top five. He might have still been in my top five for Cooper. Or Cooper at 8th, so. Doesn't matter that both of them were out of it, but
yeah. Did you see the wild card for this week's 15th?
Is it? Yeah, I wanted to talk about that too. So yeah, I think I forgot to look that up, but yeah, 15th for this weekend. So that should be good. Out. Justin Hill got 15th this round with
I just threw him in there, like
16, 13, 14. So yeah, he's right there.
Yeah, and then two. You got to think like Jorge Prado is going to be gone.
Yeah,
maybe Adam Cicerello will be back. By that sounds of that post, probably not.
Maybe Shane might be up there. He got 19, 17, 18, but.
Yeah, I could see him. Maybe.
One thing, too, we talked about before we started recording.
I mean, if Dean Wilson's back in there, too, that might shuffle things around, too. You got to
imagine. Yeah, freak accident with him, yeah. Being out. Not freak accident, but freak incident. Yeah, because
he's pretty solid in his heat races, being able to make it out of the heat race. So, like, he should be back in there, back in the mix, like, again, like, potentially making Justin Hill a pretty solid 15th place pick.
Yeah. One thing, I see Freddie Norin back there in 19th. We talked about before the episode here. The story with Roxanne saying, what did he say? I might be off a little bit, but I'll beat your fucking ass.
Yeah, like, how long have you been riding a dirt bike? Do that shit again, I'll knock you out or something.
He cross-jumped from all the way left to right, I think it was.
You effing do that again. E-F-F-I-N-G, you effing do that again. Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good. But, yeah, going into Detroit, we got a little East Coast swing here. I think it should be a good race. I haven't seen the track map yet. A little bit behind on the times with that, but I'm gonna see that. I have no idea if I'm going. It'd be a game time, a race time decision. But yeah, it should be some better racing. I feel like I say that a lot, but I think it's honestly, I feel that every time. But we really haven't had it too much lately. But honestly, I thought the racing here was really good. But also one thing, too is. What do you think about the futures racing? That was
tight. I mean, that's
crazy.
When they first said, I'm like, man, who do I know that's going to be doing this? And it was like Gavin Towers. Well, now I'm like blanking. Preston Masiangelo, Landon Peppard.
It was Preston. You know, he was in the old MX News 20, you know, before Moto 247 got, it was MX News 20 before Moto 247. But we had a little Loretta Lens prep with Joey every year, and he was in one of those videos. And on a 50. It's crazy to think he's already in futures class. And that's 2015.
Who's the two brothers out there? One of them's name was Landon, not Gordon.
Oh, yeah, Gordon. And I didn't even know the other one's name.
Yeah, I didn't even realize he had a brother. Is that a little brother? He was doing pretty solid there.
And it looks like he's on Team Green, too. I thought, here's the brother, but he also rides a Kawasaki, but it looks like he's on Team Green. I could be wrong.
And then Drew Adams and Preston Boesplug.
I thought Adams would do better, but it sounded like he got a bad start.
Okay, because he was like the fastest qualifier, I thought, like for it.
Where's the futures? Okay. Yeah, he did the fastest qualifier or something. Yeah, Cole Davies, I didn't even know who the dude was. Apparently, he raced last year, so I look at people and they're talking about pro racing. They're like, oh, I don't follow amateur racing. I'm like, I'm deep in the amateur racing. Like, how do you not know? But now I'm older, I'm like, I really don't care about amateur racing too much.
Yeah.
So, like, I knew a couple of the Team Green guys going in, but Davies, I didn't know who he was at all, and he looked solid. Like, Towers is the 19-year-old, you know. He's a Davies is 16, but Davies looked more in control, and even though it was a tight race.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I guess I was, like, sitting there watching him, like, who is this? And so I always, like, I don't know if you do it, but I always go into Loretta's vault really quick when I'm looking up, just be like, oh, I wonder if they've been to Loretta's, like, how they did there. And I was before that they said he was from New Zealand, or if they did, I just missed it. So I hop on Loretta's vault and I put in his name. I'm like, Emma, he's never been to Loretta's.
He never has?
Well, because he's from New Zealand. Like,
this is, I thought he was, because I did go on his Instagram. I thought he, I know he did some amateur nationals, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I was like, as soon as then they're like, he's from New Zealand. I'm like, oh, he's probably like fresh off the boat, like just getting in the swing of things. I'm like, that's like a really cool story. And he just,
yeah, I saw he did.
Just won a pretty big race, you know? Like,
yeah, he did Arlington last year.
Oh, really? Okay.
And he did, they said he had good speed last year, but I don't remember him. He was on a Yamaha. Okay. But yeah, and then it says his parents, they were mentioning last night that his parents are over, or his mom's over here with him, and they're like, is this a thing we're going to do? Are we going to commit to coming over to the States here? And his dad's over here. You know, he's working, it sounds like, his ass off over at home and coming over here when he can. And it sounds like he has a tryout, a 5-race tryout deal, they said, apparently with GasGas. So I don't know if he's just kind of working with Daniel Blair and the amateur stuff along with TLD a little bit.
Okay.
And seeing if he is deserving of a ride with TLD or if it's the Orange Brigade or whatever the hell that, you know, KTM group calls their amateur stuff now. But yeah, he looked really good. Looking at the times right now, his fastest time was a 103.491. Towers was a 103.195. But both of them looked good. Davies looked kind of more in control, but Gavin Towers, I was wanting Davies to win because I'm like, he's riding really good, but I like Towers and I wanted him to win. But I'm like, Davies, you know, can't go wrong with him winning. I'm like, that story was phenomenal, and seeing him up there on the podium, he looked like he didn't belong. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but I love seeing him when
they're kind of shy. And
yeah, like
then you flash, because like, funny you said that. Then you flash over to Gavin, and he's like, I'm fucking pissed off.
Yeah, I'm fucking pissed.
And I'm like, oh, okay, man. Like, it's just a podium speech. Chill out. Like,
yeah, but it was cool seeing Davies up there because I like it because now he doesn't sound like some cocky kid, right? Where he's like, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm the best or whatever. Like, I have done. He was like, he seemed like he's just a normal kid. And yeah, Tower seems like a really good guy. And hopefully he can put in some good results here. We got P2.
I don't know if we want to throw another football score up. But sure. Last time I checked, it was like 20 seconds before the half. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. It's still just going to be 14-7 before the half.
Oh, they scored in 21?
No, it's 17. Like, Chiefs got like a couple more points right before. They must have gotten a field goal right before the half. So now it's 17-7. I was like, oh, man. That's what's halftime right now. But we did not expect that to see them that scored more points before the half.
Yeah, Chiefs are kind of the underdog, which is weird because the last 6 years they've been the best team in the league by far. And they got the best quarterback in the league. Oh, hiccups.
Have they won the Super Bowl recently?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, they've.
I do not follow football. I'm sorry.
They've won a lot. They won a lot too much. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes is almost like the Jet Lawrence. Okay. Or Jet Lawrence is almost like the Patrick Mahomes if Jet Lawrence starts or still does what he's been doing over the next couple of years, I guess.
Oh, being a little asshole?
No, I just mean like success rate.
I'm just kidding.
Mahomes seems really cool and really humble. His dad was a professional baseball player. But he's dating this girl, which it was like his high school sweetheart. Pretty hot. No, because that has a lot to do with it. No, but she's this like big yapper, so he gets a lot of hate for that.
A big yapper.
Like she's always yapping, like a big distraction.
When he's on the field or like when he's off the field, she's a
distraction. Both. Like they're always showing her in the booth, and she's just going crazy. And now she's hanging out with Taylor Swift, you know,
okay,
in the booth. But she's always going crazy. Where I don't know. I feel like going to motocross too. Like when you have a wife like Ken Roczen does, like a really good.
Yeah, supporting just like level, yeah, level-headed. Okay.
Level-headed.
Yeah.
Not some like
trying to
all not like oh here yeah I'm yeah, the spotlight okay. with okay. my, here's me taking selfies and
okay.
and I see. Saying oh my husband's this
yeah,
and
that's annoying.
Fuck you all fuck you any other team I don't know but yeah she seems like a little bit of a distraction but he seems like a good guy and his brother too gets a lot of hate because he's one of those like TikTok dancers people don't know too much from except what I hear from the mainstream media about that but. He's been in a little bit of a heat with some stuff he's been doing with that. So I don't know, but he seems like a good guy, but the whole camp around him seems like they're a bunch of drama. But his dad, they asked his dad, I think it was yesterday, like, are you going to be sitting with Brittany, like his girlfriend or his wife or whatever, Brittany and Taylor Swift at this championship game? And he's like, I hope not. Yeah, I think he just wants to, like, I want to watch my fucking son. Like, leave me alone. Like, I don't want to be in the spotlight of these girls going crazy and being on camera and getting all this attention. He was like, I just want to watch my son. Like the guy seems like a really good dude. But yeah, and that's what I like. Yeah, football. We got a couple good games here today. And then same with the second game coming up. We got the Lions that are, I feel like, pretty good. Our quarterback, Jared Goff, his wife, or I think she's his wife, I believe, if not fiance or what, girlfriend or whatever she is. She's a Sports Illustrated model. Seems like she has a level head on her, though. So, hot.
Cool. Yeah, it almost reminds me of, I don't know if you follow baseball, but...
A little bit. Not really much anymore, though.
Wow, I can't even think of his name. Justin Verlander.
Oh, yeah.
He was married to...
Kate Upton.
Thank you. Look at that. And same thing. I mean, like, not, like they always seem pretty, like, you know, not obnoxious.
Yeah. That's why I like it when it's not obnoxious and distracting and stuff and kind of can be a good duo and good team and not just like, oh, yeah, here's me killing it on the field. My wife's... I constantly have to keep on getting her out of the spotlight. Not because she's in this negative, you know, getting negative attention or whatever, but... Yeah, but motocross, I feel like we don't have that as much. We have all these guys dating models that just do modeling, seems like. So, and all those videos like McAdoo and stuff. That's one weird thing that's weird, I guess, with social media now. Like, you see all these girls posting about, like, what they're taking videos with their phone about, like, oh, here's me using Monster Energy. I use this every day. Girls don't do that Monster, but I'm just looking at whatever I have in the studio right now. But
like, it was like you said, that's when I found Julian Beaumaris, because that's how I found his girlfriend, because she came up on like the recommended page, like of some, like, follow me on the day of the life of Supercross. And I thought maybe it was one of the Monster models or something, like showing their day. And I click on it, and no, it's Julian Beaumaris' girlfriend, just like showing her being a spectator at a Supercross race through a day. But because she's hot, and you know, now she's going to get like whatever many views and get all this attention, and then
here's me putting on my makeup.
Right.
Here's me going to the KTM rig and kissing my boyfriend.
Yeah. Here's me getting some lipstick on Julian's dipstick before the race.
Like Jim Holly. Yeah. Oh my god.
But no, like so then just like fast forward, like just talk about McAdoo's girlfriend again. I find her kind of obnoxious. And like same thing, she just on her Instagram story, it's just like picture in the mirror and she's like tagging the clothing she's wearing.
Yeah,
her outfit, and it's just like
she seemed cool like when she was dating Sexton and stuff, but now I'm like that's a little much. But
well, then
like, I get it. She kind of, I guess, quit her career. It sounds like, I could be wrong, but like I don't see her career. Singing. Yeah, I think she
was that even a career.
I think she had some gigs going on, but it wasn't like big or anything.
Yeah,
I remember I was supporting McAdoo. I downloaded that song, one of her songs. I'm like, yeah, was it when she was dating McAdoo or when she was dating Chase or whatever? But I don't know. But yeah, now all she does is support him and does that. So I'm like, I get it. She's taking advantage of opportunities, you know, they have, but I don't, it gets a little bit annoying after a little bit, but yeah, you're seeing all these days in the life, you know, it's like kind of annoying. And one thing too, that I hate, I know we're on a podcast right now, but do you notice that everyone has a podcast right now? Like everyone and their brother has a podcast, which makes me not want to do episodes, but I'm like, I think we are grandfathered in. Like, this isn't that old. It's 4 years old. But in 2019, this wasn't a big thing to do. I think we squeezed in, like, after the pandemic, late 2021 or something. Like, now everyone has a podcast and everyone's doing it. So I'm like, I think we're grandfathered in. But it's like now everyone has a podcast and they're just, like, talking about their life. It's like,
yeah,
cool. Okay.
But then too, like I was talking about, like again, like obnoxious people and like the whole like Paige Craig. I don't know. She just kind of gets on my nerves. Like it seems like they've been a little bit more quiet, but like whenever she's in like Christian's vlogs and she's just, you could just see her just like googly eyed over herself in the camera while she's like selfing, and you could just see her just like smiling, just so in love with herself, and it's just like that kind of stuff just kind of annoys me a little bit. But
I saw her at Daytona. We're walking outside the pits. I'm like, oh my god, like it's Paige Craig. It was a Jagger and stuff. I'm like, I don't know. I got a little star or a little fan there, flipping out a little bit. But yeah, it's weird. I don't know. Like, I feel like if I'm in the spotlight, if I'm a rider, like I don't know. It's just so weird to have your kids on social media. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but I don't know how I'd feel about that. You know, having my little 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, whatever, like in the spotlight, but. I know it's different times now. Like it's not like the times we grew up in. It's times where now social media is like, you know, it's like the media, I guess, but like now everyone has phones and we're seeing every little aspect of everything.
Yeah.
It's like you see some people that really don't post anything about their kids. Like Joe Rogan. I love Joe Rogan. I listen to his podcast so much. At work, that's pretty much all I do. all the things I listen to pretty much. And it's like, he talks about his wife, but like, I don't know what she looks like. I think I looked her up on Google because I'm like, I don't even know what she looks like. So I looked her up, but like, I don't know what his kids look like. You know, he keeps them out of the spotlight, right? Which I think is pretty cool, you know. Lets them kind of have a normal life for the most part, but I don't know. But I think we touched on a lot of things here for this previous round. We touched about on futures. I guess what's our top three picks here?
Yeah, we're going to do some East Coast 250 picks. This is going to be exciting.
Yeah, I'm a little bit – my brain's a little slow right now. I don't know who I'm going with for that. So do you want to kick that off? I like Martin, though. But I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to do 250 East first place. Austin Faulkner, I got to go with them. Like I said, I just believe in his ability and his maturity and his veteran status in the 250 class. And then maybe second, Hayden Deegan. Again, he's just got all the hypes. And then another guy that has a lot of hype coming in is Max Anstey. Maybe I could see him maybe polishing off the podium.
I haven't heard that much on him lately. Like, I haven't seen him posting that much.
No, but I just, like, keep hearing, like, from some of the other social media and, like, news stuff that I follow to stay up to date with what's going on in the sport. They've been really hyping Max up. I mean, wasn't he was the WSX 250 champion, wasn't he, too?
Think so. I don't know.
Or Australian 250?
Australian, yeah.
So, and then 450 class, I think I picked Cooper Webb to win because I'm like, oh, man, he's got some momentum. He's got some confidence, man. They really need to start watching out for Cooper Webb. So I picked him to win this weekend. And then I think I got maybe Eli in second and then Jet Lawrence in third, maybe. Man, it's so hard, too. Then it's like,
I hope that's right.
Then it's like, well, then what about Chase? What about Jason Anderson? What about Ken Roxon? Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Then you're just sitting here going on the list. And you're like, man, all those guys are podium dudes right now.
Yeah, for 250s, I feel like, yeah. I think Anstey, oh, I don't know. Like, I have the same top three as you, but I keep on wanting to switch them around. So I'm like, oh, Anstey, I think he's going to win. I'm like, at the same time, I'm like, no. Same with Martin. But, yeah, I don't know. I'll go with Faulkner. Like, I was going to go with something different, but I feel like Faulkner can do it. He's proven he can do it in the past. Things are a little bit different, like we said now, but I think he can still go out there and get that win. Anstey in second, Martin in third, 450 class. Probably Jet's going to win. I'll go with Jet. I hope I'm wrong.
Just keep talking about those mistakes, man. They keep happening.
Every time he makes a mistake, you can think of me like just screaming, like, I mean, yes.
Even if he doesn't make a mistake, if he starts anywhere near Jason Anderson, that's also,
Do you think it's going to get in his head?
I don't think it's going to get in his head. I think if Anderson has an opportunity, he's going to like push him wide and just make the rest of Jet's season harder. So, like I said, Jet really shot himself in the foot with that mistake. Because I said, any opportunity Anderson gets, he's not going to, like, hit him, but he's just going to make Jet's season harder.
Yeah, I think Jet's going to win. Tomac second, Chase third. I hope I'm wrong. I would love perfect world Chase to win, or AP. I think AP.
I mean, yeah, but like, oh, he's got a point lead now, dude. He's got some momentum, too. But I said Cooper Webb with some momentum.
He's dangerous. He's
deadly.
He's like a shark with blood in the water.
I want to see some pistols now, man. Like, I want to see some look back pistol taunts.
Yeah. Yeah, I get a little turned now when I see those. You know. Yeah, you see those, you're like, oh, God, Webb's back, man. He's going to start, you know, being an assassin, whipping his, or, you know, whipping through people here and getting them. But yeah, I think we're going to have some good racing. I truly do mean that this weekend. I think it's going to be good. This weekend was good with it being dry, and now we're in a dome, an indoor stadium, not dome necessarily, but kind of funny with going back to football a little bit. When the Buccaneers were playing the Lions a couple weeks ago, this reporter asked the Buccaneers head coach, they're like, oh, yeah, when you're going to Detroit, we've seen all these cold weather, you know, games that the temperature is really affecting these players, and how is it going to affect you? Detroit's currently like 13 now.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't think it's going to affect us. We have a 20-second walk from the bus to inside the stadium, then it'll be 70 degrees. You know they play in a dome. So with that being said, we have a race that is guaranteed to be dry. So.
Oh, and then two.
It's gonna be nice.
And not only that, I looked it up because it always affects it. I remember, like, some smart people telling me this years ago.
Monster Jam
is at the end of February.
Oh,
so the dirt is gonna be freshly in there, so the dirt will be softer. We're in the years past, the next probably past 5 years. Supercross has always been the week after Monster Jam, so the dirt's had a whole week inside the stadium to maybe dry out and firm up, and it makes the track a lot like harder and slicker, like. You know,
yeah, it was
like Anderson's concussion 2 years ago, stuff like that. So, I mean, this should also in a sense, change it up a little bit. There might, there'll probably be more moisture in the dirt. It'll be fresher. It won't be as hard packed. It'll maybe get a little bit rutty, which I don't know. That's the type of dirt. Yeah. That's the type of stuff I like riding on, is a little bit tackier and rutty. So I don't know. There's something like, it makes me more excited just because I'm like, oh, those condition, these conditions make me excited. You know, the track might get a little bit more rough too. So I don't know.
I think it's going to be good. Before we end, I'm going to touch on something real quick. But before that, we got a commercial break. We'll be back in, I think, exactly 1 minute. Hold tight. We got some good stuff coming to you in a minute. It's a little surprise, guys. Attention, motocross fanatics. Are you ready for the ultimate boost on the track? Presenting MotoX Pops, the vitamin-infused electrolyte-free pops designed specifically for motocross riders like you. With MotoX Pops, you get more than just a refreshingly delicious freeze pop. Our special formula is packed with essential electrolytes to keep you hydrated, focused, and performing at your best. No more cramps, no more fatigue. MotoX Pops replenish your electrolyte levels, helping you stay cool and focused even on those scorching race days. And here's the best part. MotoX Pops taste absolutely incredible. Available in mouthwatering flavors like Blutopia, Lemon Blitz, and Electric Berry Blast. Each bite is a burst of pure satisfaction. So, get your game face on, power up your ride with MotoX Pops, and conquer any track with unbeatable energy and focus. Coming soon at MotoXPops.com. MotoX Pops, the ultimate fuel for motocross champions. And we are back. We've kind of touched on everything. Because normally we have that segment, you know, with Dean, because he goes in the deep dives. I think along with me, but I think he does it better than what I do. But deep dives. But we did talk about like the gear and stuff and the deep dives and of that that he went into and looking up the Fox stuff. It already has it in your cart, right?
Yeah. So dude, you should see the amount of gear. Like, I need to get rid of some gear. The thing you got to my age, you need to buy a set or two every year, and then before you know it, you've got like 30 sets of gear, and you only ride like. 3 times a year.
Now I have a couple sets of gear and I don't even have a bike right now.
The same thing. I'm like looking to sell one bike and get another and kind of rearrange and kind of reorganize and hit the reset button a little bit. I don't know if I told you, I just got the Axel Hodges Slayco EVS.
Oh, I saw. Then you got the Travis ones.
I got the Travis
ones. Those were the first ones you got, right?
And I didn't like the way they fit. I got the larges. They were too big. They felt like sloppy and loose on my kneecap. So I sent those back. And so then because they were too big, they're both EVS.
But yeah, I've never worn knee braces before. I've always had knee braces. We just had to pause this for a second, so I had to go back over it for a second. But yeah, I always had knee pads, which I was old school. I had the knee pads, and last time I rode, I had a neck roll. Everyone had Leah braces and Atlas braces. Mm-hmm. I had the neck roll. I was like David Millsaps, you know. I had a 6'6" one though, so.
Yeah, and then now nobody even wears those. Like, nobody wears it. Like, you got Kyle Chisholm in the Atlas, but that's a word.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, that was such a huge thing. Like, Everyone had neck braces. Like, even, like, the thing I got printed up there with Joey from 2015, that was the same years that Loretta's video was talking about. I think he has a Leah there.
Yeah.
But I remember I took my neck brace off, or my neck roll off. I felt so naked without it. I'm like, I feel so, like, open and naked and stuff. Yeah.
Well, it's funny, like, how, like, it just seems like, I feel like it's like that with, like, all sports where they get, like, more gear, less gear. I mean, it's just kind of, like, roll, you know, changing with the tides. So it's like, you know, even talking about knee braces, you know, those were huge for how long. Well, now it's like everybody's, like, toning back a little bit and they're going to, like, the less protection.
Well, you got the argument kind of like with Ryan Hughes. Yeah. And people think he's a psycho, and he's like, and you got people on his boat. I don't know what to think about it, really, but.
And that, when it was, cause it was the same thing with the Liat braces too. They see it, we're like, wow, we should, you know, just being safe. And now it's like, well, that's restricting you too much. And it's the same argument with the knee braces too. It's, you know, it's restricting you. It's a bracer, blah blah blah. So
yeah,
I'm gonna try the Axel Hodges knee pad brace thing for moto probably just to see how I like it. But I got them for snowmobiling because my knee braces were tearing up my freaking $800 snowsuits. We're putting holes in them. And they're too expensive, so.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's weird. Like then, like just hearing stuff from guys doing arena cross and stuff, like with the Liat brace, you couldn't really see. Like your head was always in this weird position. Where outdoors, I know people like that didn't really mind it really that much. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, probably if you asked them, they could tell, but like they didn't really care for it. But like when doing arena cross, or I imagine supercross too, where it's like it almost restricts you and you can't have that full movement there and stuff. But it's, I don't know, it's weird. And then you see guys like with Ken Roczen wearing the wrist brace and stuff. Obviously he had his injuries and stuff, but it's like,
yeah.
I just wonder how that is, like how it feels. Like I know when I rode, like I sucked on dirt bikes or whatever, but I just felt so weird being so, like, you know, like not, or being so restricted, I guess, which I guess that didn't matter. I would have sucked anyways, no matter how I rode. I was so bad. But like then you get like on something like we were riding mountain bikes, I just felt like so more, I guess, open and free and allowed to move and stuff. And I don't know, I really don't really have a good point where I'm going with that, but like, but it just like, I guess you have things like all, with technology with over the years, and even go back 10 years ago, like everyone, like we said, had Leap braces and Atlas braces. And then they had the knee braces were coming on really strong, and now it's like, oh, maybe if we can tone this back a little bit.
Yeah, and then like, and too, like for me, like where I'm at, and I mean, I'm hoping to be able to make some changes here and be able to ride more and stuff. But I always like, I'm like, for me, it's like kind of, they weren't cheap. There was like $130 for these new knee brace pads, and I'm always just like, well, I want to try everything, like kind of thing. Like, yeah. I in my own sense of like being broke, but I want to feel like a factory rider. So like, as far as like. Changing, like, every time I get a new pair of boots, try out a different boot company, just out of, I don't know, like...
You like the Fox ones, didn't you?
I loved them. I mean, like, I really like my Garnets. The Garnets took a little bit longer to break in, but when I'm on the bike, I feel really comfortable with them.
Did those last that long?
The Garnets have, yeah. Okay. They've been holding up. And
that's what if I got a bike, that the thing was, I was going to get Garnets. I've worn Alpine Star my whole life. I love those.
Yeah. I love the Fox boots as far as, like, they... felt like almost like a shoe or like a slipper. They were so comfortable, but then the color options are really good too with the boxes. Like
then you have like the bright,
but then it's like you feel like you almost need Fox gear. So
yeah, like that's what I kind of what we were talking about earlier, where it's, I didn't really get into it, but it's a little bit better now. But like 5 years ago it was bad, to where like helmets too, where like if you don't have the right gear it doesn't match. Where like I remember getting like those, they're kind of bringing them back a little bit, like especially Bell, but like if you go back to 05 or like somewhere near that, those years where it, like those crazy designs they had kind of went with everything, you know?
Oh yeah. No, like, I mean like Ryan Villopoto era, like the Thor gear, like head to toe seemed like a match. I just saw like somebody shared it today. And I think in our group, like the Nike 6.0 boots that are just,
oh, yeah.
And then like, I saw you got your Matt Moss jersey up here and like One Industries is back.
They're back, baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
With,
gets me so excited for the gear and the fashion. Like we were talking about earlier with all the gear, like,
One Industries was awesome. Like, I remember growing up, they were sick. Like, this gear, I have the red and white set. I'll have to post this on our story so you know what we're talking about. But this is the gear from Redbud.
And but even, like, looking at...
sick.
Say, what year is that from? Because, like, that's timeless. Like, I feel like you could go show up to the track and put that gear on today. And
you
would still look good. And that's, like their logo, like...
Maybe 2010 or somewhere around
and
there.
And, I mean, like, here we are, like, 15 years later.
Yeah, like, if you look at all this gear in my studio here, there's some of the, like, No Fear, this No Fear stuff of Wyndham's. That looks really good. Like, that would go good now. I love this Thor stuff with TP.
Yeah.
This was Travis back in 04, 05.
Like, that dark burnt orange is maybe, I mean, but at the same time, like I said, the Ezra Lust No Fear jersey, that would still, in my opinion, look wicked good on the track today.
No Fear, I feels like... they're like what Alpine Star is today. Like, their gear was so sick, and they...
I got a couple good sets for my McGrath replica bike. Like, I was score some No Fear gear off eBay, and like
then isn't it like yellow or something?
Yeah, and like, and then I took it to a print shop and I had them add like McGrath to the back of it and shit. Like, it looks...
Then you got the brat from Aaron at Prism,
yeah,
for your Troy Lee helmet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so like said, just going full tilt with, like, because the No Fear is sick.
Yeah, that's or that jersey right there. That's what's...
Jeff Curry?
No, not Curry, but PJ Stratton. He was that Canadian pro. Retired now, but he was a Canadian pro, I should say. Yeah, he's retired now, but that was FXR when they were, like, they're up in Canada, but no one knew who they were in the U.S. I remember my dad had a set, and he had, like, this, was kind of like a white and black and, like, neon, not really neon, but this teal color. It looked really sick, but, and he loved the quality. He's like, this quality is the best fitting gear and the best, like, quality gear I've ever worn. And no one, like, I didn't see any FXR guys down here in the States, but now they're, like, a huge brand, right?
Right.
And everyone has them, but that, I don't know, that stuff's kind of not that good looking, but that was back when they were a really small brain, I guess my point is. But, like, even that MSR stuff, we got a shout-out Jerry Lorenz right now. I think he's doing some Canadian Nationals this year, but that was MSR stuff. Is that 09? 08, 07, somewhere in there. Like that Joey, the Crown Moose stuff, that was all right. Yeah, I think that Lichtel stuff, Josh Lichtel.
See, that looks a little bit dated.
Yeah, that looks. Yeah, you couldn't bring that back now, but it does look cool.
That was
but
the style there for a little bit, though, that O'Neill, and that was its own thing.
Yeah, but I was looking around the studio. I got a lot of old stuff in here. I got a Fillmore, Troy Lee, Supermoto jersey, which I don't know. That is Supermoto, but I thought they weren't wearing moto stuff back then, so I don't know. I don't know anymore. But, yeah, I think we've touched on everything, made our picks. We're going to go into a little bit deep dive after the commercial break, but we've kind of already did that this whole episode. I feel like this episode we talked about Supercross and Motocross and stuff like that in general. Then we kind of pulled a little bit of a regular podcast of just talking about everything in general. So I feel like we got a good one and I got a long one. And, yeah, we'll be back next weekend sometime. I don't know. Detroit. We got to get that figured out. Yeah, you're going to go balling. We got Mr. Dean Taylor here balling out in Detroit. I may go. And yeah, we'll see how it is.
I can't wait. Someone might have to, like, if Ovi can get there, maybe we can hit up some other people, like the moto industry media guys, and try, like, just getting to say hey and shake hands with them.
Yeah, it'd be cool seeing people there. And yeah, that's what I love about Supercross. That's why I'm trying to go to Daytona. I met a lot of cool people down there in Daytona last year and the industry. And it was really cool to see them. And, you know, because I know all of us see them on Instagram and stuff. And cool to interact. There's a lot of good dudes in our sport. But anyways, thank you guys for tuning in to episode 57, I believe this is. And see you guys next week. Peace out.